This is the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast with Evangelist Adam Borden, brought to you by Wahoo Baptist Church in Murrayville, Georgia. We invite you to join us for this time of mining the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And now, Evangelist Adam Borden.
1 Samuel chapter number 25, we'll begin there. I'd like for you to stand for just a moment. I'll read just a few verses. In context of where we are tonight, David is in his tenure as the prey of Saul, as he is in pursuit in his journey to destroy David. And in this time, as we'll not take the time to read through, but this is the time when Nabal, the husband of Abigail, has refused the men of David's request for some provision, some water, things of that nature. And Nabal has refused and rebuffed David's request, and the men of David have come back, one amongst of his 600 mighty men that he has accumulated under this point. And they've given David the report, and it's gotten David's anger to a point where now he's gathered his accumulation of mighty men, and he's about to go take care of business over at Nabal's house. Now, let's look at verse number 13, and this will be the beginning of our central verse and theme tonight, as we'll point out. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and notice these words, and 200 abode by the stuff. I thought about this verse and these passages. The Holy Spirit just gave me a little nudge and say, go over there where it talks about abiding by the stuff. And so I thank God that there's so many of our young people, the great majority of our teenagers, our young people, have gotten to go and they've gotten to witness the activity of the missionary work that's out there with the Bakers. And they've gotten to interact and meet with several of the missionaries. And they've got to hands-on, been able to give them food, give them supplies, give them encouragement, pour their water glass, serve them food, and be a part of the missionary work in that way. And they've been out on the front lines on the tip of the spear, and they're going forth into a mighty work. But not everybody could go on that trip. Somebody had to stay back by the stuff. Somebody had to come back, had to stay back by the stuff. But it's true in this passage, we see some things that I'd like for us to look in the idea of those who go and those who stay. It's not always the point of rebellion. It's not always a point of pushback for somebody to stay and abide with the stuff. And I want us to think on those thoughts tonight. I want you to see that there were some designated assignments. There's some designated assignments. We see in the passage tonight in verse number 13 that amongst the 600, 400 went to battle and 200 abode with the stuff. The full third of the force was assigned to abide by the stuff. Now, what stuff are we talking about? And now, specifically in this verse, it had to be their supplies. It had to be their encampment. It had to be their provisions. And it also the families that we will learn were carried on with them in their journeys. So there had to be some people back who were staying and abiding by the stuff while others were out going on the front lines of the battle. There had to be somebody who was back behind the scenes, not in the spotlight, not out front, not in front of all the people, not in the place of high priority and high visibility. But no, there was somebody who was looking after the stuff back at home. In these designated assignments, notice this. It wasn't soldiers and servants, but it was all soldiers. It was all soldiers. There were just some soldiers who were designated to one thing and other soldiers who were designated to another thing. And we need to see the importance of that tonight. I think some people tonight, maybe over their period of time in service, maybe think that they serve in a place or they serve in a capacity that is not important because it's not very visible and it's not very recognized. But I'm here to tell you tonight that everything that takes place in the operation of the Church of the Living God is important. Every single thing that is done from the front door to the back to the floor to the ceiling and every part of everything that's done Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday and every day in between is important unto God. Including some that have to stay back by the stuff. In the low visibility, in the support role, if you will. There's got to be somebody who's digging ditches. There's got to be somebody who's doing menial tasks. Others might get more notoriety, but all is important. The Word of God gives us some admonition and some exhortation about various kinds of people that God needs to stay by some things. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, he's speaking about the disciples in that first century church and in those days of dynamic growth and settling into the first century church in the age of grace. And he says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in powers. I want you to see that the disciples that God uses, one of their first priorities is the word of God. He called it the apostles' doctrine. We're talking about the apostles' doctrine. It is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. There's not one person who gets a pass on staying by the stuff of the gospel. It's not the preacher's job to defend the gospel only. It's not the deacon's job to defend it. It's not the Sunday school preacher's job to study and to bring forth the word of God. But it's every person who follows Jesus Christ, it's their responsibility and assignment to do their part in the word of God, to hide it in their heart and to spread it forth in their community. There's some stuff that we need to stay beside. He talked about servants in Matthew 25, 23. And we know this parable. And the Lord says unto his faithful servant, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. And I will make thee ruler over many things. There's some faithful things that we need to see after that are seemingly insignificant or seemingly small. But how many of us know that if one little thing gets out of order, one little thing is missing, it can shut things down. The little things that seem insignificant, you can name it in your mind. I'll not designate it with a list. But those little things are necessary. Those little things are important. I love the song, does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forsake his own. Little is much when God is in it. Oh, there's great reward in staying faithful to the little things, staying and abiding by the stuff of the things that are important unto God and his work and his service. He gave some specific things in regards to people and preachers. He gave us some admonition. But I'm telling you, there's some places and there's some positions and there's some priorities that if we do not pay attention to them as preachers, then we miss what is possible and we may hinder the work. He said over there in Titus 1:9 when he's giving qualifications, he said, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. We are responsible to present, hold forth, and stick by sound doctrine when it comes to the word of God. It is our responsibility to contend for the faith. It is our responsibility as men of God, whether we're teaching in a Sunday school class, standing behind a pulpit, preaching in junior church, over in the jailhouse, over on the street corner, whatever it is, to make sure that we stand by the truth of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. To stick by the stuff of the word. Oh, we could recount for hours those who have intermingled theology with philosophy and the destruction that takes place when those things are intermingled and intertwined at the behest of the itching ears. Oh, we've got to stick by the doctrine of salvation just as it is. We've got to stick by the doctrine of grace just as it is. We've got to stick by the doctrine of faith just as it is. We've got to stick by the doctrine of heaven and hell just as it is. We've got to stay by the stuff. Now, not every preacher that stays by the stuff is very popular. Brother Brian and I, my former pastor, Brother Tony Hudson, he is not popular to a lot of people because he stays by the stuff in such a way that rubs people the wrong way. He's very adamant about sticking with the stuff of the doctrine. And if there's one thing I learned from my 7 years of sitting in Tony Hudson University, it was this. I have no room for false doctrine. I have no room for false doctrine. As a preacher, I have no room for false doctrine. I will not look at somebody and tell them that their works-based salvation is okay for them, but it's not just for me. No, salvation by grace through faith is right and it's good for all. Water baptism, I will not accept it as a plausible doctrine unto salvation. There is no way that we can allow some of that stuff in our life as preachers. We cannot mix that amongst our stuff that we stick by. Amen? Now, if we go forward in 1 Samuel chapter number 27, we've seen the designated assignments under some people. But I want us to look just for a moment in passing. Chapter number 27. I want us to see the danger of abandoning the stuff. See, there are some places that we need to stick by. The stuff of some places that we need to stick by. We won't read it all the way through. But if you're in your own study, in chapter number 27, what happens is at this point, David has made the bonehead decision as a military leader to go unto his enemies, the Philistines, and make an alignment, a treaty, if you will, an agreement of coexistence with King Asach of the Philistines. Do what, David? Okay, let's go back. Teenage boy goes out. There's a giant. He's calling out the armies of God. David, you said, is there a cause? You went down, took your sling, 5 stones in your pouch. You went down with 1 rock. David, where was he from again? He was a Philistine. Yeah. They hate you, David. And yet David thinks it's a good idea to go down to his enemies. He's so far down and so beaten down and so distressed by Saul's pursuit of him that he makes the conscious decision to go into the Philistines and make them his allies. He begins to fight for them. He offers to fight for them. Achish says, oh, David, my people are not having that. And see, he goes off. Achish gives him a land called Ziklag for his people to dwell. And David's off gallivanting around. He's doing all this stuff. He's going out. He's in the wrong place with the wrong people. Well, what happens then, forward, in chapter number 29, some more of David's enemies come through. Look over in chapter 30, verse 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. David abandoned the stuff that needed abiding by. And the enemy came and took it. I'm burdened in these days. If you've listened to me for 5 minutes, teacher, preach, since January, you know that I'm burdened in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah about the destruction of Jerusalem and great men of God who were given charge and given a burden to rebuild the walls and to rebuild the homes and to rebuild the church house, the temple, because it had been torn down and abandoned when the enemy came in and took all those people. And David made the decision, the errant decision, to abandon the things that needed protecting. Abandon the things that needed his attention. What did they take? They took their families. And I'm telling you today in America, we live in a day and a time when people are abandoning the idea of family. The thought of marriage is just an option. And if you go through with it, look, you're not expected to stay around for more than 5 years anyway. The abandonment of the stuff of one woman and one man for one lifetime. And we see the results of it. And I'm not talking about the outside world. I'm talking about the church house. Nationwide, wall to wall and 10 feet tall. The curse and the atrocious tragedy of divorce is as common in the church house as it is anywhere else. I'm not condemning anybody in this place that's been divorced. I'm not condemning anyone in this place. But you know better than me the damage. If you've been through that, you know the damage. And sometimes it's not one person's fault. I understand that. But get what I'm saying. There's enough men who are sitting on a bar stool tonight instead of going home to their wife right now that are just inviting the enemy to destroy whatever they've got and take it and steal it. There's enough men that's distracted with their hobbies and their outside interests right now, and their families are slowly being taken away from them.
Our prayer is that the Word of God has done a work in you today. For more information on the ministry of Evangelist Adam Borden, go to evangelistadamborden.com, spelled B-O-R-D-E-N, and click on the contact page, or you can call 615-785-5682. Join us next time as we find riches from the pages of God's Word with Evangelist Adam Borden.